Raised Rowdy. Guys, everyone, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name's Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nicky T.
Yeah, and we got Sam Banks on today.
Hey, Mr. Sam Banks.
Good morning. Oh,
yeah. Welcome. Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us, brother.
Rare early pod.
I was late, but I wouldn't have missed it.
Yeah, you weren't late.
I took a wrong turn.
I drove straight past here. I was just like, why is my GPS telling me to turn? This ain't right. And then I was like, oh, it is. I just haven't had enough coffee yet.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of it being early, I'm going to turn my headset down a smidge.
Yeah, loud. There's cool. Not a lot of people that I'll get up this early for, but Sam Banks I would for sure.
And I would do the same for you.
But easy. We did it. So we cheers, it. Bud.
Cheers.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on here. This is awesome.
I think I used the word flabbergasted when Corey sent me the track that we played on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't heard it or anything.
That was the first time?
Yeah. It was Saturday night.
Sweet.
At like 3 a.m. is when I heard it. And we were sitting out by the bus having some cold beers, enjoying the Salt Lake City weather.
Yeah.
And we cranked that tune, and man, it sounds good. Dude, your voice in that is crazy.
Thank you. Man, it's funny. Well, I'll talk about Rob later, but he is like, he was like, Kurt finally heard the tune. I was like, I don't know if I sent it to him. He was like, I don't know how he got it, but he heard it. And I'm like, finally.
Corey.
Yeah. All right, there you go, Corey. That's how.
All right, let's backtrack a little bit. What's up, Sam? How are you today? Everything going good?
I'm good. Yeah, okay. I'm getting through my coffee here. I played last night over at the local.
Yes.
And you know, country.
That's
music.
Where I met you. I feel like, or at least I've gotten the hang with you the most.
Yeah, yeah, probably. I was thinking about that on the way over where we had met. Actually, I think me and you just met over at Live Oak, but I think it was local where we met. But yeah, you meet a lot of folks in the local.
Yeah,
and I they love stay that bar. And they stay good friends.
True. Yeah.
Over at the local, go to the local.
Yeah. Everybody. It's a beautiful establishment, and also their food's very good. You know, for bar food,
their fries are good. so good.
I
know they buy them frozen from some company, but whatever. But they're just amazing.
Whatever company they do, keep doing it.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Jeff's great too. He's a really nice dude.
Man, he's awesome. He's been nice to us over the past few years. And Will and I were talking about this last night. Will Jones and I, and we've been doing this over like 3 years now. In there,
crazy.
And then you know. Dan Alley and I, Corey Hunt and I, we were doing stuff during the weird times.
The COVIDs.
You know, the COVIDs.
Yeah. Say the band name for everyone, please.
Yeah. But, Diamond Trio.
Yeah.
Shameless
dude,
plug.
So great. Yeah.
The Diamond Trio days, baby. But, Jeff gave us a place to play. When there was nowhere to play, that's where we went, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been cool. Jeff's been great to us over there, man. It's been awesome.
And so what do y'all do over there? Explain for the folks this is how I met you. So I think it ties in well with your music. So what's the gig like?
The gigs on Sunday nights, Dan Alley and I, we're doing an acoustic thing. We're starting to call them Gut String Sundays. We bring our nylon strings out and we do a bunch of original stuff. We'll take requests, you know, but, Dan and I just kind of do our thing. We write a bunch together and, we were roommates back before, you know, I had a couple youngins and he's got a daughter now, but back in the fun, you know, heydays where we were roommates together, we wrote a bunch, you know, together. So we're doing a lot of those songs that we were writing when we were roommates and, you know, staying up too late and hanging out. But anyway, that's on Sunday nights. On Monday nights, Will Jones and I, we split the front. We play a couple Telecasters, 80s, 90s country.
It's awesome. If you're a classic country fan, you got to come to that.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. Keo Stroud plays drums. Brandon Talby plays bass. He's the best. Neil Jones plays steel. And, yeah, Will and I are splitting the front doing the country thing, man, so.
Yeah, we the guys in Luke Band always go down there and get to hear you guys play, and
it's fun when y'all come in and hang out.
Sing your asses off, yeah.
Thank you, man.
Then we get too drunk and sit in.
Yeah, you do.
That's the best part about Nashville. So fun.
I just love if like you see one like Kurt, and then there's Tyler, and then you know they all start filing in. I'm like, yes, this is gonna be a night.
One of those nights.
Yep.
Speaking of nights, we had a little surprise birthday party there for Corey. At the local, when Sam was playing, and we were like surprise, and Zach Brown came in, and just coincidentally on Corey's birthday party, that was a fun night too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got Zach on the horn and said, "Hey, you know,
you called him up."
Yeah.
But it was so cool to see you guys. Zach got up and play with y'all.
Yeah.
And Corey was on stage and he had the microphone and he's like. Zach, and he was all fucking drunk from, you know, it's his birthday. People were feeding him drinks, and bless his heart, you know. But he was like, Zach, I'm singing the song With or Without You, bud. So if you want to come up here, like, come on. If not, no. And then you guys did Colder Weather.
That's the most Corey thing ever. Corey just sends it. He doesn't care. He's like, you know, he'll just call it out. You know, I'm doing it with or without you, you know. Yeah. And he did. He joined him.
And Zach got up and sang. And I have this photo on my phone. They just like, Corey and Zach and y'all were just hanging all night. It was cool.
Yeah.
That was a great night.
It was awesome, man. And we've kept in touch since that. And like, speaking of the local, man, like, it's just a good spot to like hang, network, meet friends, you know, new friends. And it's like, you know, Zach Brown shows up and then it's like, you know, you're just, you know, meeting cool people, you know, it's just opportunity in there. Over the past couple of years, it's been cool. People are figuring out that spot, you know, and coming to hang. So,
and good wait staff too.
Yeah. And it's one of those spots where like, if you're in Midtown, it's like, you know, can get a little somebody asking you for something kind of thing, you know, where I feel like the local is a little bit more of like a slightly older crowd, more just music listeners as opposed to as many industry folks. Yeah. It's like a mix, you know?
Exactly.
Which I think leads to a little bit more of a low-key hang, which is great.
Yeah, it feels good.
And
yeah.
If you just want to go in and grab dinner.
Yeah, know, dude, it's great.
You get it all in there.
And always great music, too.
And that was like where I was first introduced to your incredible singing and ripping guitar playing, man.
Oh, thanks,
man. And I think it's cool because... that gig y'all play, like you said, 80s and 90s country.
Yeah.
And, like, what are some tunes that you guys play? Some covers?
We pretty much, we play a lot of Merle Haggard stuff.
Yep.
A lot of Sammy Kershaw stuff, a lot of Waylon stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a group back in Nashville. They played at the Fiddle and Steel a lot in Printer's Alley when that was still here. But they're the Blue Heelers, just a freaking all-star band here in town. And we kind of ripped some of the stuff that they were doing, like, you know, these versions of Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line and, you know, Today I Started Loving You Again, Merle Haggard, all that stuff, you know. But it's a mix, but you got to kind of refrain us from playing Merle Haggard because we'll do it all night long if somebody doesn't stop us.
And it's great because I hear that influence so much in your writing and your singing and, of course, your guitar playing too. So
yeah, Hag was the triple threat, man. I mean, he wrote, he played, and he sang, and he, in my book, was, you know, the best to do it. And I do. I get a lot of inspiration from him, you know. Just, he's like the coolest dude there ever was, so. Put all that together, he's my favorite, man. It's just right nothing beats it.
And we could tell coming to that show all the time.
Is that the kind of music you grew up on, or?
Yeah, my grandpa was a big George Jones fan, you know, Ernest Tubb fan. I got a tattoo over here that, you know, it's a guitar, and on the back of Ernest's guitar it said thanks, you know. Mm-hmm. I got that tattoo, that was Papa Joe's favorite, man, was all that stuff. And Dad always, you know, listened to it too, but Dad, like, you know, it was Jim Croce and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But my Papa Joe, man, was like George Jones, Merle Haggard, all that stuff was always playing, you know, on vinyl up at Papa Joe's house, man. That's what you listen to.
Yeah.
You know, so
my dad is Conway Twitty, George Jones, heavy.
Come on.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
I actually just got a Conway Twitty shirt that I paid a little bit too much for, but, you know.
I didn't
have one,
You got to.
They're hard to find.
Yeah.
Harder than you'd think, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Because he was so popular, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
My dad has, like, the most eclectic taste of music, like, in the world. I remember going to, like, a Peaches one time, and it was, like... he had gotten like, what was it? Like a Marilyn Manson CD. And then like a, Jagged Little Pill or something like that. You know, it's just kind of like always. And then we listened to like jazz growing up and then listened to, Simon Garfunkel and just rock and
a little bit everything.
Yeah. Classical, just literally everything. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I remember being a little kid and he took me, both my parents did, to go see like Pat Metheny, as like, a teenager, like an early teenager, or maybe like a 12-year-old or something. And my guitar teacher at that time was like, dude, you have the coolest parents ever. They are taking you to go see Pat Metheny, who, if you don't know, is a jazz guitar player.
That's pretty wicked, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really grow up listening to country that much. I'm kind of envious now that I'm like living in Nashville that I didn't have that sort of background, I guess.
Well, I wish I had more of that jazz stuff in the background too, you know.
I guess the grass is always greener.
I was gonna say the same thing. You read my mind. Save it for the pod.
Well, now we're here. I remember I was playing on Broadway like right when I moved to town, and I didn't know any of the tunes. I was just up there jamming, and this girl was singing this song and it was awesome, and I was like, that is such a badass song. And she's like, thanks. And I was like, no, but seriously, like, that's one of the coolest songs I've ever heard. I love it. The energy of it is so good. She's like, are you messing with me right now? I'm like, no, seriously, it's great. She goes, do you not know that song? It was like Kerosene by Miranda Lambert. And like, I didn't know who Miranda Lambert was when I moved to town. I didn't know who Luke Bryan was, or like, you know, I knew like, hey, good looking, and you know, Garth's hits and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but like the stuff that crossed over.
Yeah,
but like
right.
So I've just been doing my homework ever since.
There
I guess
you go. That's awesome.
By going to the local on Monday nights, learning my country standards.
You'll have it, man.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
My dad was firmly country when I was young, but it was mostly like what was on the radio in the 90s, because I was born in 82.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, when I started remembering, it was like early 90s.
Heck yeah, dude.
And he would drown out the four of us running around the house with, because he worked shift work, with like Y108 90s country radio, which then later Kurt and I had a radio show on for a little while.
Nice. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was like the thing. And then, of course, everything.
Look at a leather square for my cup.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call those?
A coaster.
Barely know her. All right. There you go.
From the Nashville Stampede.
Heck yeah.
So, when did you get to town?
I moved to town in 2013, actually. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I was a youngin' then, but
yeah,
I was
just a baby boy.
18, man. Yeah. And I moved down. I lived down here for a year, and it was kind of tough. You know, I'm one of six kids, you know, so when I moved down here, I lived by myself over in Jolton, basically, you know, so I was kind of out of town a little bit, and it was hard to get in places, you know, and being underage and stuff. I found, you know, like I already mentioned, the Fiddle and Steel, but I could sneak in the side door there at the Fiddle, you know, and hang and watch people, and it was awesome, man. Like half of Toby Keith's band was in there playing, and you know, it was crazy. That's where they found Eric Church, Toby, you know, Rascal Flatts, all that. So it was a cool spot to hang. But anyways, like I said, it was tough to get in places. I lived here for a year, went to Nashville State, just did a music technology certificate, you know, did 30 credit hours of school. It was my excuse to move, you know, no gen eds, nothing like that, you know. But and then I started commuting back and forth. I just had found more ways to make more money at home playing music, and was trying to make Nashville work. Anyways, I commuted for a little while, and in between there, I was driving down to get on buses, you know, and go out and do the thing. But
don't just glaze over that part.
I'm going to get back to it.
Okay.
This is just the quick, like, then I finally moved back at the end of November 2018.
Okay.
So I, like, never stopped coming, but I guess the longest stint of time that I've lived here has been since 2018.
Cool.
So, but, yeah, 2013 was when I started coming down here and get my feet wet and meeting friends. And I'm still friends with those people that I met when I was a kid, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, they gave a green guy a shot. But, backing up just a touch, I worked for Craig Morgan for 6 years.
Yeah.
So that's when I was commuting. I was playing up in Missouri during the weeks, coming down on the weekends, going out touring with Craig. And then going back home, just going back and forth. I did a few different things with Craig, which is long story short. It's like,
well, we got time here, bud.
Yeah,
we got a long story. So didn't you open for him like way back in the day?
I did. Yeah, one of those gigs back in Missouri. He came through a club there that just brought through National Access, just a dance hall, you know, smoky honky tonk, man. But anyway, my band opened up for him in 2016, I think it was, and the guy running front of house. Crushed it that night. He just had a really good night mixing, and they're like, hey, we need a front of house guy, you want to come out and do the gig? And he's like, yeah, you know. So he got the gig with Craig doing front of house. He called me about a year later. He's like, man, they need a merch guy out here, would you be interested in doing that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not really, you know. I was chasing the artist thing and, you know, doing my thing, but I wanted to kind of be on a bus and put my foot in that door. And it did. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it, why not? And I did that for about a year and a half or two. And Craig was like, hey, we had some guys in the crew leave. You know, you're the only other guy here that knows about my guitars and stuff. You want to be my guitar tech stage manager?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, why not? You know, I was like, I kind of wanted to play acoustic for Craig too and sing backgrounds. You know, I kind of just, I love singing harmonies, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. And Craig and I had started writing a little bit and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll do that. So I unloaded and loaded the semi truck every morning and every night before the show, set up the stage, tore it down, and, worked my ass off, to be honest. Yeah. But it was cool, man. I've learned sides of the business that, you know, I don't think I would have done if I wouldn't have taken that opportunity.
Yeah. And how old were you in that, like, time frame?
I was 22 when I started with Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was like the first buses I had been. I had gone out and played guitar for some other folks on a bus, but that was like the first, like, real touring experience that I'd got.
Yeah.
Weekend warrior stuff. But
yeah.
So I did that for a while, and then one morning Craig calls me. He's like, hey, I had a band member leave. You want to play acoustic guitar for me? How well do you know my songs? I'm like, I know all of them. He said, well, the gig's yours if you want it. And I took it, and I did that for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And so that was like collectively my 6 year run with Craig. And
super cool.
Ended up, yeah, man, writing with him. And one of the songs he recorded, I wrote with Corey Hunt and Mike Rogers. So got a couple cuts, you know, and we became buddies. And yeah, we still chat to this day, man. He's become a really good friend and helped me out a bunch.
Yeah. Got to see how that road life really looks.
Yeah. And learning it from Craig Morgan, man. I mean, he's been doing this a long time and
yeah,
had a lot legend. Of success. And yeah. And that, it's like you were talking about the songs you grew up on. You know, I was born in 95. So when I was in middle school and all that, it was Craig Morgan on the radio, man, is what
yeah.
I listened to. You know. So it was cool, man, seeing him do that every night and learning from him, you know, what to do's, what not to do's, and what have you. So
yeah.
Very cool. But
there you go. I might probably learn more than that than you did at Nashville Tech or.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so, man. Had a lot of fun. And Corey was out there playing
yeah.
keys. That's where we met, actually.
Right.
I just got on the bus one night and I'm like, hey, I'm Sam. He's like, hey, I'm Corey. And it was over.
Best friends. You
know? Best friends.
Ever since.
That's yeah. right, man. So.
Love it.
Glad I took the opportunity and to, you know, you just never know when you say yes to something.
Yeah.
You know,
of so. Course. I think there's always that kind of leap of faith kind of a thing where it's like you just got to go and do it and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easier to do that when you're 22 than it is when you're 32, I think, but
yeah probably.
But I kind of feel like I was telling Nick a little bit of this before, like you were doing the Craig thing, but now it's like you're kind of in the next leap of faith thing doing your own music right now, right?
Yeah totally. When I was talking with Craig, you know, it's I was just like the way I worded it was I was wanting to take more opportunities for myself. You know, I was working with him and it was a great gig, but I was trying to focus a lot on my artist stuff and writing, but I was having to be gone with Craig a lot. And,
yeah.
You know, and I've got two little boys and a wife. So it's like, what's my main focus? And if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? So
yeah.
That was over a year ago, right around a year ago right now
yeah.
that I did that. And yeah, here we are doing, yeah, the artist songwriter thing, man, and still picking. But I'm glad, you know, I did all that. I learned a bunch, but I'm excited on where I'm at now and taking the leap to
for sure.
do the artist thing, you know. And I kick myself kind of too because I'm like, well, what if I wouldn't have been working for Craig the whole time and putting all my main focus in my artist career, but I wouldn't have learned, you know, what I learned. It's
yeah.
like now I can bring all that to what I'm doing now. I learned the merch side of things. I learned the crew setup, tear down side of things. You know, I learned
yeah.
the road life thing and, you know, so.
You have an appreciation for all the other jobs that other people will hopefully be doing for you someday.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Dude, I took that thing from your story the other day that John Osborne shared about the crew,
mm-hmm.
the crew stuff. I thought that was super cool because I've totally been there, you know,
yeah.
in the crew guy and stuff. And
yeah, I'll, just to let
work,
people
man.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The Brothers Osborne had some crazy flight day where their flights got canceled and they had instead of flying out Aspen, had to rent some minivans and drive to Denver to fly to get to Charlotte. And John just posted a little video saying how thankful he was that he had such a badass road crew. And I just loved it so much, man. You know, I've done some teching, not a lot.
Yeah.
I've just always been like the band guy. But I have gone out and like guitar teched and stuff, which was an absolutely eye-opening like experience, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you wake up, you know, you shower the night before, you get on the bus, and you wake up, then you start your day, and it's hot outside, and I'm immediately sweaty the entire day. Then you know, dump the trailer, change strings, set up guitars, then the show comes, and you're handing guitars off, and you're running around, and you're doing all the stuff, and then you pack up everything. And you put it all in the trailer and pack the trailer. Then you're sweaty. You've been
yeah.
sweaty all day.
Yeah.
Then you shower and you're tired as fuck. And you're like, oh, I just want a beer. You drink one beer and you're like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You go to bed and then you get up in like 6 hours and do it all over again. It's like,
yeah, man.
And like the shows just wouldn't be possible without
yeah.
those kind of folks. So
totally.
John had posted that, which I really resonated with because, you know, out with Luke, we have the best crew in the world. So. It was cool. So
who were you taking for? I didn't know you did that.
Rodney Atkins.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was sitting in catering one day, and our stage manager, Matt, was like, hey, do any of y'all want to go do this guitar tech thing? And I was just like, and we had a bunch of time off. And they were like, oh, I can't do it. And they were talking about the pay. It paid really well. And I was like, wait, what? That's what they're getting paid out there with Rodney? I'm like, yo, I'll do that. Like, from the table
sign
next to them, and they're like, you're going to go out and do that? Like, band guy? I'm like, hell yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's funny when
I mean, it was a lot of work, but it was, yeah. Yeah, it was rewarding.
Oh, dude, totally. Yeah, when I started the merch thing, when I, you know, I was 22, I was young. I first got on the bus. I'd actually played a show. There's a guy, Tate Stevens. He won the X Factor show back in 2012. He's a Missouri guy too. When I was still living up there, I was playing guitar for him on and off. Anyway, when I got the gig to go do merch, I flew myself down to the Craig show because they hadn't met me yet. You know, it was like I was taking the chance to go down there and work for him. But anyway, flew down there, get on the bus, and he's like, hey, how are you? You know, who are you? I was like, Sam, I'm your new merch guy or whatever. And he's like, cool, what do you do? I'm like, merch. He's like, no, what do you do? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm a singer, guitar player, you know, right? I write and stuff. He goes, great. We hired another singer as a merch guy. He's like, awesome.
Well, shout out Cole Swindell. I think he's the king of the the merch guy glow ups.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah. Well, it was Luke, right?
Yeah. Luke Bryan. Yeah.
But wasn't Martina? Didn't she do merch too for somebody? Am I getting that right?
Oh, I think she was. I think she worked in. Don't quote me on this, but I thought she was like a front desk girl at a label or something.
Might have been. I thought who sold merch for Garth?
I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. I can't remember.
I know like Craig Campbell played keys for Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if there's any other stories like that. I'm sure there are. I just don't have any more off the top of my head.
I can't remember if, somebody sold for Garth. He's a big star now. Don't quote me on that. Don't crucify me, whoever's listening to this.
We're not using the robots to find our information.
Yeah.
So
also,
exactly.
Chris, our merch guy with Michael Ray, and was our merch guy with Luke, is now the general manager of the local.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
Small world.
Yeah, it is.
So shout out Chris.
Right back to the local, man. Look at that. That's great.
Okay, so now we know how you got to town. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this music that's coming out.
Yeah, man. Yesterday was the first teaser thing that I have released on it. We cut it.
I didn't know you guys did a music video also, by the way.
Well, it's kind of funny. It's just a bunch of content that we shot. My buddy Dakota Thurn with Marathon Media he's up in Missouri still too. I met Dakota in the second grade, man. He's been my best friend forever. When growing up, him and I were doing a lot of hunting together and stuff. I left to come down here to do this and music and stuff. And he's still up there working with like Heartland Bowhunter, and doing the media side of things with his company, Marathon Media. And I was just like, you know what? Let's put the two dreams together. You know, come down here. Let's shoot some content. I got some music coming out. And my oldest son, Tommy, is, he's Uncle Dakota. So he's not really too weirded out by him following him around with a camera. And I feel like if it was any other way, Tommy would be like, what is going on? Like, what, you know, Dad, what are we doing? But it's Uncle Dakota, man. And so he came down and shot a bunch of really cool content. And I looked at him and I'm like, and this was just for the release of the song. But I'm like, we might have to just do a little music video because that's kind of what it turned out looking like.
Yeah.
So, but really our goal was to just get a bunch of content, you know, for the release and for, you know, weeks after the release.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, I'm super excited about your video, man. I saw it. I'm like, It is coming across that way, I think, that it's a music video. So
it's cool.
There might be a we did shoot a little acoustic video, so stay on the line for that. But no, I told Dakota, I'm like, man, we might just have to do this thing like a video with it. So,
well, and honestly, that means that it looks professional enough that it should be a music video, which is great.
Yeah,
right.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, that's Dakota, man. He does really good stuff, and he's super creative too. You know, he's not like a songwriter or anything, but there is a creative. I know, you know, with media and photography and videography and stuff. I mean, it's a creative.
It very much is.
And Dakota is really good at that. And you know, you put two boneheads who are best friends together. We kind of come up with some cool ideas, I guess. But anyway, he does great, man, and it did turned out great. I'm happy with it. So
you mentioned Tommy, your son, being in the music video.
Yeah,
let's talk about the song and why your son's in the music video.
Yeah,
because the song's incredible. It's just pure country gold. But
thank you,
anyway.
Man. It's called "Who's Teaching Who," and my wife might scold me for this. I think she was, Wren was just born or Mads was still pregnant with Wren when I wrote it with Ethan Phillips. But the song's called "Who's Teaching Who." Ethan, actually, man, I got to give him props where it's freaking due because he comes up to me and he goes, hey, do you still want to write that song with me? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Which idea are you talking about? And he's like, "Who's Teaching Who?" And I'm like, dude, like he's got no kids, and he's just a great friend. Tommy loves him, and
country
me
is
and my bad. Yes, he is, man. Me and my wife love him to death, and we write a bunch together. But anyway, I'm like, yes, Ethan, holy shit! Like, why don't I remember this or whatever? He's like, okay, well, let's write it. Like, I had this idea, you know, I love Tommy. Like, I just want to write this idea with you, you know? Yeah. And so we did, we started it at his house, and a week later on the day we finished it. And that's, yeah, the inspiration's Tommy, you know, he'll be four on the day we're releasing it on Monday, the 17th. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty crazy how it came around, but yeah, it's midnight of Father's Day. And then the day of his birthday, the 17th is the release, but that's, yeah, that's the story, man. That's, I wrote it. You know, it's about Ren too, but that's kind of, this is kind of Tommy's song right now. You know, I've got some other things that I've pulled inspiration from having the second, my second boy, you know, but, yeah, that's Tommy, man. He's the star of the show for sure. It's the inspiration on that. It's who's teaching who. So.
And it's about, your young son sort of with his unique perspective being a kid versus yours as an adult.
Yeah.
How he just kind of shines a light on different parts of your life and makes you reconsider things.
Yeah.
Kind of
like. And just for everything I learned from him, you know, it's like he's learning from me. I mean, he's the kid, but it's like the things that he does and just the things he says and how he acts and, you know, just who he is. It's like I'm learning things from him every day, and it's just it's all about that. It's the back and forth, who's teaching who, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm super thankful for Ethan's friendship, man, and for him, I mean, just having that idea and wanting to write it with me, too. But like I said, it's like when he said that, I'm like, oh, my God, like, let's go home now and write it, you know?
Yeah.
And, man, we did the work tape, and I couldn't even finish the work tape. I was just crying, and I was like, sorry, man, I got to redo it. And I still have it. I'll have to play it one of these days for you. But
can you play it right now?
Yeah. Yes.
I want to hear some crying,
bro. Let me see if I can find it. It's funny, but yeah, the first line in the song is he's two going on 20, and it's like, do I need to change that lyric? But that's like when he'll be four now, you know, but we wrote it a couple years ago. It's kind of crazy that it's just like, but you guys know when you write something, it stays for a minute, but I've never stopped playing that song in town or anything, but it's stuck around, man. Let me see if I can find it.
And so what took you so long to put music out?
It's funny you ask. I don't really know, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of great songs.
Thank you. I mean, I guess it's I'm writing every day, you know, but they start piling up, you know. So it's like I don't know what to release, or you know, or and you know, too, it's kind of a finance thing, man. It's like being an independent artist; like you got to find the right way to do it, how you can financially do it, you know. So it's kind of a couple different things, really. But
I think with your style of music that you sing, with your style of country. It's the production has to be that classic sound, I think. You want to hear fiddle and you want to hear steel guitar on it.
Right.
And you want to hear, you know, beautiful background vocals like Mass is saying on the song.
Yes.
And
get to that.
But there's a lot of artists now that are coming out, and with the more like Dylan Gossett, for example, has self produced his music in his bedroom with GarageBand and one microphone and electric guitar plugged in, and he's just micing acoustic with his vocal mic and not really knowing what he's doing, and it's gone platinum, you know?
Yeah.
And so obviously he is knowing what he's doing.
Right.
But I think with your stuff, it's like you got to have a bit of a budget to get that.
Yeah.
Those, you know, premium Dobro steel players to play on it. Yeah, let's hear it, dude.
I can't find the right one, man.
Oh, dang.
I'm trying to find it.
We'll come back to another one.
It's an old work tape. I have to look it up.
But so, like we were saying, I'm surprised this is your first release ever of music as a solo artist.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm super excited about it, but it's you know, I don't know what's taken so long, a few different things, but this is what I want to say.
I don't
want
to have to wait another 20, 30 years until the next song.
No, man, no, absolutely not. This is just, you know, what I want to say. I'm glad I had some stuff I recorded in 2020 when times were weird, and I thought about releasing it and just putting out a project. I'm glad I didn't, because this is what I want to say. This is who I am right now. It's my life every day, you know, raising those kids and, you know, being a husband and writing songs and music in between that. They come first, and, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this without them. And so this is just really what I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's who I am, man. I'm a dad, and then I'm a singer, you know.
Yeah, in that order.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. And, you know, if I didn't have my wife to, like, support me doing this, you know, it wouldn't be possible, man. The life that I'm in now with the kids and with a wife, it's like that's half the thing is her support from it, you know. So this is what I want to say, man. Like, I know it took a while, but also it's kind of a, you know, there's been people who are excited for my music for a long time, and so now that it's finally happening, I feel like that's a reward, and you know, hopefully it's going to get shared a little bit more because folks are excited.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to share it. I already did share it.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Let's talk about the recording process, because it was a special one for me. because I was involved. But it was just not cut in the usual Nashville way, I guess.
Yeah. It was super special, man. Rob Williford, he's a buddy of all of ours. He's been a friend for a while. And I posted an acoustic video of this from a show up in Wisconsin. And he called me and was like, man, I've always loved this song, but you doing this song in that room at that time, you know, all the things. He's like, I want to record this song with you. And he goes down to Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a lot. And we've been down there a handful of times to write and stuff and have recorded the things that we have written in there or whatever and did that. But this was my first recording experience just going down to cut like a master in there in the legendary Fame Studios. So anyways, Rob called me and we worked it all out. And Kurt came down, played dobro and steel. Corey Hunt came down, played all the keys. Brandon Talby played bass. Rob brought a couple guys in. Play guitar and play drums, and it was super special, man. Jerry Reed, you know, Aretha Franklin, Shenandoah. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, it was a storied studio for sure.
Yeah, so it was super special, man. And what was more special for me was, you know, Rob taking the chance and believing in it and giving me the opportunity to do it.
You know what I love too is that he didn't text you; is that he called you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, it was at night, and I think we were just, me and my wife were like catching up on laundry, you know, and he's like, hey, listen, you got a minute? I'm like, yeah, I do. And it was cool, man. Super, super thankful, beyond thankful for Rob, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rob is kind of that nudge that it took to get you to put some stuff out.
Yeah, he really was, man. And the fact that he believed in this song is just, it's the most special song I've ever written. And so for him to believe in that one was like, you know, means a lot.
It's almost like he has a good ear for songwriting.
I would say
having
so.
Having won the Song of the Year award and all the other crazy awards he's won.
Yeah, man, he can do it. It's just super, super special. I'm super thankful for him, man. And yeah, like you said, I mean, the recording process in Fame is, you know, wow, you know, legendary studio down there. So yeah, we went down and did it, man.
And you got your best friend Corey to play keys on it.
Yeah,
and just to give Rob some more props, the production on it is,
dude.
I was just, like I said, flabbergasted.
Yeah, no, thanks, man. He was really glad that you loved it that much. It meant a lot.
Yeah,
you know, I mean it's Kurt, man.
Your vocal on that, it's like, damn, it sounds so good, dude.
Thank you. It sounds incredible. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you just recorded, which is great. Yeah, which is what I love. Who, and we, and May I ask, this is singing back on vocals on it, which that shocked me too.
Yeah, we were just recording, you know, we were in the control room in Fame, and Rob and Dave Brainerd came down and co-produced too. They were like, man, we hear a female voice on this. And Rob looked at me and he goes, female voices, who do you think? And I said, May I ask this? I didn't even think twice about it. It was the first thing that came to my head, May I ask this? And Rob's like, can you do that? Like, yeah, I'll sure give it a shot. And I shot her a text, May's a friend, And yeah, so I asked if she'd like to sing on it, and she did, and she sounds like a million freaking dollars, man.
And he played fiddle on it.
I cannot remember his name. I was afraid you'd ask. Dave Brainerd brought him in, man, and he
was that in Fame they cut, or was it?
That was Nashville? At Dave's studio. Yeah, back here in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we'll have to get with him and figure out who that was.
I'm so sorry, I don't remember.
No, it's okay.
Also, don't crucify me for this.
No, you're fine. No crucifications happening today.
Oh, man. But thank you for all the compliments, man. Yeah, thank you for coming down and doing it, too.
Yeah.
Goodness, man. We got to make some music together. That was a blast.
I think I came down the day before, and Rob and I just sat in the hot tub and had a couple of beers and smoked cigars.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing Rob talk about that studio, too, and just like why he fell in love with it. And,
yeah.
You know, what it means to him as, you know, a musician, artist, songwriter.
Yeah.
I love when I watch my friends, like, just feel something, right? Whether it's about, like, a girl, or whether it's about a song, or whether it's about, for Rob, it's this production side is really scratching a different itch for him.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it, like, really fulfill him, you know, and, like, make him, you know, have something that he's probably had in other things and grown, and now he has another thing to scratch that itch, you know?
He is passionate about it, man. Everything he does, he's passionate about, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got good results with it, too, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How did you guys get hooked up with Dave?
Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't met Dave before, which is funny because we have a bunch of mutual friends, but he said, man, I want to bring in this guy, Dave Brainerd, to help co-produce and kind of do the thing. And I just trusted him. I didn't, you know, didn't think twice about it. It's like, yeah, of course, you know,
yeah,
whoever you want. So, yeah. And Dave's great, man. Like, what a talent. Like, can play everything, can sing, you know. We did, like I said, all the overdubs at his place. He worked immensely hard on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, props, Dave Brainerd. Love you, man.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys just cut that one song, or did you cut some other stuff,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, no, we just did that one. We had some ideas on if we were going to do some more stuff, but this was, we wanted all of our focus on this one.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Yes, we just did this one. I mean, hopefully there's more to come after this, but yeah, man, we gave this one all we had.
I love that.
I remember... a million trillion years ago when Luke had written Hurricane and had gone and cut this EP and kind of ran out of money. And because he didn't know, like, you had to pay to have things mastered.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what? I thought we already paid to have it mixed. I was like, no, you got to have it mastered too.
Yeah.
And he kind of had $200 basically left in his bank account and spent it on, he had to pick one song off the EP to master, and he picked Hurricane. He you know, well, the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so he put that song out, and it started popping, and that led to him finishing the EP. And then the EP got picked up and became half of his first record, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And so I'm hoping this song, it pulls you in that direction, man.
Thank you.
For sure.
Man, thank you so much.
And I want to hear some more Shane Beck's music being released. But first, yeah, we have to release this song, which comes out...
June 17th.
Nice.
Next Monday.
So that's in 6 days from the day we cut this. I'm not sure when this will be released.
I mean, we could try to push it up.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Cool.
We'll talk about details.
Yeah. Deets to come.
Yeah. We've, Kurt and I had been having trouble getting podcasts done, so we've just been doing 3 days.
Nice.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to get him out here, you know, a half hour away from his house 100 times.
Right.
And then I can talk him into smoking a cigar after with me, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Pays off, man.
So when the song comes out, but you got to do the
TikTok.
Yeah, oh yeah,
he doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
I'm like, wait a minute,
bless your innocence.
Oh gosh.
So now you got a TikTok now, and you're gonna be doing all that.
I'm an old man. You know, I didn't.
I'm an old man. Yeah,
I didn't even have a. I don't know. Maybe I'm behind the times, but I had an Instagram and all that, and that's basically what I'm doing all this on is Instagram. You know.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, my little brothers, you got to get a TikTok, man. You know, my wife's like, you got to get a TikTok, and it's like, I just didn't want to, you know, be someone else who just gets a TikTok out of the blue.
Yeah.
So I kind of just planned it around this release and the content that Dakota shot. You're like, if I'm going to start one, I want to do it. I guess if there's a right way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But in my head, it's like, you know, if I'm going to start a TikTok and do that damn thing, then I want this content to be in the core of it.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'm on TikTok. Go follow me on TikTok, Sam Banks Music.
We've had some TikTok famous people on here, and one of the things that they said is going live, specifically when you're dropping, like, a video.
Heard that.
Can help push it.
Cool.
And, dude, you could do that at your shows.
Exactly.
You could do that while you guys are playing an acoustic gig.
Yeah.
And that's probably, honestly, great content.
Yeah, for sure. May and I were just talking about that the other day.
And if you do that consistently, like if you throw your phone on and do a live every Monday, you get a following from that.
Heck yeah. Cool.
You know?
And Baker Blankenship, he's got a bunch of TikTok following. And he was saying he was just grinded on that, which is part of it now, dude.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, it's like he said, I was going live 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And he was gaining 4,000 or 5,000 followers a week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel, you know, it's social media is such a big part of the music industry now.
Yeah.
And the artistry part of it too, you know, and just putting yourself out there and putting everything literally on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a little vulnerable to not have had one and two to talk about. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'm an old soul, I guess, but I'm just like, I never had a TikTok, you know. It's just like I would do Instagram posts and stories and videos and do my best to like post videos and stuff on YouTube and all and all that. But it's like, I'm part of the TikTok game now. It's like you kind of have to, right? I guess.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, honestly, it's really the same as Instagram Reels in terms of engagement. It's different, but in terms of like the kind of content you're posting, for you is going to be very similar to that.
Right.
So if you're making content that you've made for Instagram Reels, it's going to be very good for TikTok as well.
Yeah. Just tossing it over on the same thing, basically, right?
But it is a bigger platform for live streaming. So, like, for not only just music, but, like, video games and stuff. So there is a big following of people that will, like, look at live streams and, like, continue to go back to those week over week. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing stuff like your residency of cover shows or yeah. mixed in with originals, you yeah, know yeah. what I mean? That is a good way to do it. And honestly, there's revenue opportunities there too.
Yeah.
So I know like Trey Lewis, of course, who had like a big TikTok pop up, yeah. but he's like, man, I don't even ask for money when I'm on my streams, and I get money every time I'm on there.
That's great, man.
You know, people were just like, they're loving that you're on there. They're loving that you're doing that. And they're just dropping some, yeah. even if it's a little bit of money.
Sure.
You know, that takes that cover gig and just makes that tip bucket even a little better.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so awesome, dude.
Yeah.
We've been going live on Tyler's like for sound checks, and there's like hundreds, if not thousands of people on there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And you know, just like way like a video pop, your live stream can pop too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it helps yeah. to have Luke pop in sometimes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it's, you know, it's free. You just put it on there when you're gigging.
Yeah. You know, just plug your phone and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, you know,
you can do spend an hour, you know, when kids are asleep, get your little light and your phone holder and sing some tunes and just chat with people.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, man. Sorry.
I love it. Damn, we should live stream a podcast, dude.
Yeah, but then what happens when we say something really dumb that we need to cut out?
That's never happened. When's the last time we cut anything out of the podcast?
We really haven't in a while.
The only time I can think is when I was like, we had someone on like at the old studio that like, yeah, my new record deal. And then they were like, I wasn't supposed to talk about my record deal.
Yeah.
Mm. That was like one thing.
Well, we have canned a pod, the Hannah one.
Yeah.
That we still haven't re-recorded.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll just pop in and say thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Of course.
The Raised Rowdy thing's awesome, man. Thanks for letting really. Me be a yeah. part of it.
I actually, this doesn't happen to me a lot, mainly because I'm maybe not out as much as I used to be, but I was at a show and someone came up to me and said, hey, I really like your podcast. And I was like, thanks.
Hell yeah. That's yeah. awesome.
And my friend Matt, who's our bass player, Luke, says he listens to all the episodes. So love you, Matt.
Oh, Matt.
And my parents listen, so I love doing
you.
Great.
I love Matt, too. Yeah. And your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them.
All three of them.
No, it's one of those things where, for me, it was kind of like a way for me to get to know more about stuff.
Oh, I've learned so much doing this podcast, yeah. man.
Yeah, just little things you don't even think you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, other thing, too, is, like, we've had a few podcasts where we're just like, man, that just filled my whole heart up, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we just had Beggar Blankenship on, and he's, like, new and has that, like,
he's like
just
19.
Pure enthusiasm of, awesome. You know, just yeah. just loving the thing,
yeah,
you know?
That's and cool, man.
Man, sometimes the further you go, you forget how those moments feel.
Yeah.
And even when someone else is feeling it, it helps you feel it. You yeah. know, it kind of brings back that childlike oh, love totally. For it yeah. when you see someone else having that love for it.
Yeah, it's awesome, know? Dude.
I did a writer's round recently where I just played Dobro with some writers.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool private gig. It was at the Ryman, actually. And it was with Wyatt. It was Brett James.
White Durrett.
And White, yeah, sorry. Yeah, White Durrett. Brett James and Christian Bush. And Christian Bush, I've never met him. It was my first time playing with him. That dude loves, I mean, all those cats do, but Christian has that same thing I feel like I do, where it's just kind of like, he just loves playing music.
Yeah.
He's like, I brought my mandolin. Is it cool if I play mandolin on this? And like, can I, you know, like, and he just, it's just so much fun to play with those guys.
He's a great entertainer too. Christian always has.
Yeah. Been. I've never seen him play live. I know yeah. they just, the day we played that was like the day after they played on the CMA Awards or something, like when they just got back.
Yeah.
And so he was all jazzed up.
That's cool. Cool. Man.
Yeah, super nice guy. So, man, awesome. I'm so stoked that that you're getting to put your music out and everything, man. Is there anything coming up that we need to talk about? You got some shows that you want to plug, or man, you want to plug your TikTok also? For
yeah,
us?
I want to plug my TikTok. No, I mean right now I'm just really focusing on this release, kind of just the next week, you know, putting yeah. that out there and sharing it as much as I can, telling as many people as I can about it. I got a haircut the other day, and
it looks great.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Yours does too, but you didn't get it cut, but it looks great. I tip him on Venmo, and I'll we talked about my music club. I've been getting my hair cut this place for a minute, but anyway, he's like, man, what's been going on? You know? And I'm like, I'm also barbershop talks are my favorite, man.
I love
like,
them.
You just sit and get your, you know, it's like I old men know. In there. Just, yeah. yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm releasing music. He's like, man, I can't relate to any music these days. Like, and he has an almost 2-year-old boy. And anyway, long story short, in my tip when I said thanks, I just said, who's teaching who coming 6/17/24. I was like, plugging this any way I can, you know.
So
like,
great.
Oh, I got Venmo. Oh, yeah, that song's coming out. You know, like, I'm giving this thing everything I got, man. But yeah. No, I mean, nothing too crazy right now, to be honest. I'm really just focusing on this release until the next week and doing that. I'm signing a publishing deal today.
Nice.
What? Let's go.
That's coming up. I'm taking a picture at 3 o'clock and doing the thing. So
that's why your hair's looking so good today.
Yeah.
You have a microphone line.
I know.
Not microphone, a headphone line.
I'm proud of the.
Can we know who you're signing the book deal with?
Porch Light Music.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Doing that. So
yeah. I love when the good guys win. Yeah.
Thank you. It's an exciting week, man. It's been in the works for a few months, and everything's finally just, you know, finally coming together on that. And Jenny Hall's working over there. I love Jenny. Dale Dotson's over there. I love them. You know, Clint Daniels, Tim James, Chris Sly. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So I'm super jacked up, man.
I'm
really excited. Yeah, it's gonna be good, man. So more music, but like I said, you know, after this Who's Teaching Who thing, I'm really focusing on it. But at the same time, another part of my head's already like, all right, I think I know what's next, you know.
Yeah.
Song-wise, you know, it's like, yes. I write every day, so it's like there's a bunch piled up. But just like playing these songs out that I'm writing in public and seeing, like, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, it's like, oh, I think that song would be a good next song. You know?
Yeah.
So it's always got to be one step ahead, I guess, you know. But
yeah,
man, that's kind of what's next. So
the direction, eventually you'll have people that can help you with that. But right, you know, in the beginning stages, having clear direction and knowing what you want to do and how you want to do it is very important. So
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I'm putting all my focus in this song, but also at the same time thinking about future still at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
and always, dude, like, think about what makes you you. You know exactly what makes you you.
Yeah.
But ask that wife too, because she knows real well.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, she says that a lot. See, I told you should have posted this. See, I told you should have sang this one. You know, she's like, if anybody would just listen to me. I guess I need to turn my listening ears up.
The one thing that you'll see is, like, you get involved in your own thing, but the people that are closest to you know who you are too, and they have the thing of being slightly outside of it looking in.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, so yeah, totally.
Trust the folks that you trust in your life with that as well.
Yeah, it's great, man. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been an honor having you on, bud.
It's been an honor being here, really. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, the platform to talk.
And man, you're going to have to send me the song now, too.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
let's listen to it, man.
Absolutely.
Who's teaching who? It sounds better than that, y'all. Go check it out.
I'm looking forward to everybody hearing it.
Thank you. Man, we are looking forward to it, too.
Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you on the front row.